We have Gornit Thai from Karlovac has come to the altar. Beautiful, big Gornit Thai. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Jai Gopi Janavallava Kirivarandhari Jaya Jai Gopi Janavallava Kirivarandhari Jaya Gopi Jisodanandana Vraja Jananjanayasa Jisodanandana Vraja Jananjanayasa Jamunatiravana Chari Jamuna Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jamuna Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Gopi Janavallava Kirivarandhari Jaya Gopi Jaya Gopi Janavallava Kirivarandhari Hari Jaya Gopi Giri Varadham Jisodanandana Vraja Janahandhanaya Sum Jisodanandana Vraja Janahandhanaya Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jamuna Dhina Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jamuna Dhina Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Jaya Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paiva Chakacharja Astotra Sattva Shri Sriman His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Sri Jagannath Baladev, Lady Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai, Sri Sri Gornit Thai Ki Jai, Sri Sri Lakshmi Narasingha Bhagavan Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Glories to the assembled devotees, glories to the assembled devotees, glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. Microphone stand is a little intoxicated. So we've been Maum Vishnu Padai Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Pastyadya De Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, we have been discussing for the last few days, this is the third day actually, the verse from the Nectar of Instructions, the fourth verse which describes the six loving exchanges that are done between Vaishnavas. Rupa Goswami gives the science of bhakti, as he had heard it from Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he writes the science according to his what he heard from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how best we can understand it. And he has concluded that there are six principal loving exchanges, such as giving gifts and receiving gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence and hearing others' confidential thoughts, giving Krishna prasadam and receiving Krishna prasadam. These are the six loving exchanges between Vaishnavas. Although it sounds quite simple and quite, not very voluminous, not much, but actually everything fits within that category of exchanges as the definitions of gifts can be extended to the principle of giving the gift of the holy name, giving the gift of transcendental knowledge, receiving the gift of transcendental knowledge. Revealing one's mind can mean also speaking about the confidential subject matters of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and then it could also, as we discussed yesterday, it can mean it's problem solving or the process of problem solving, revealing one's mind in order to remove doubts, get understandings of the principles and the philosophical terms, how to practice Krishna consciousness, remove those doubts in order to move forward in the path of Krishna consciousness. So, any questions about those loving exchanges? Anyone? Because I'm going to move on to something a little different, but just wanted to conclude by if anybody had any questions concerning. I would suggest that everyone practice these loving exchanges. Give a gift to another devotee before you leave the camp. Speak to others about one's thoughts and concerns in Krishna consciousness, or also about one's obstacles, difficulties, experiences, realizations like that. Practice these six loving exchanges. Of course, accept prasadam from the hands of the devotees, and also take the opportunity to offer prasadam. It's nice to practice these things as much as we can, and we have such a grand opportunity during this festival, as there are so many devotees here, and we can find someone we can perform these loving exchanges with. Okay. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 8th chapter of the 4th canto, I believe it is, Narada Muni explains some principles to Dhruva Maharaj. These principles that he explains, that there are three ways to interact with different categories of devotees. Each category is a different type of interaction. So there are seniors, there are peers, and there are juniors. Or we might say there are those who are more fixed in Krishna consciousness, those who are equally on the same level of our practice, and those who are just coming into the process, or someone maybe who is not even in the process or just being introduced. How to interact with people on different levels. Now, it's explained that this interaction by a Vaishnava is in his, the expression of their relationship with Krishna. These exchanges are also, what we say, done differently according to the class of persons, but that the mode or the means, or we might say the mood, is the same. In that sense that it's all in the mood of service. It's all in the mood of devotion. So what are the differences? For those who are, what we say, senior, we hear from them and offer service. We're eager to offer some service and also to learn from them. From peers, those who are equals, we make friendships with them, share Krishna consciousness with them, and serve each other by assisting each other in our spiritual practice. I can come in different forms, rendering service, talking about Krishna, giving advice, you know, the loving exchanges. And those who are, what we say, in a junior position to us, that comes in the form of showing compassion or being concerned about their welfare. In other words, to preach or to offer your concern to help them. So, in the material world, when people come in contact with these three categories, there is a different type of understanding. Not understanding, there's a different type of communication that is given. When someone is better than you or greater than you, envy becomes strong. One starts to feel envious because one is superior. And one sometimes wants to tear that person down or find fault in that person in order to feel good about themselves. So people do that in the material world, especially if persons have the same occupation. They look at another person, like, although they know the other person is more successful in the occupation, so there's a type of envy. When Srila Prabhupada was consulting with the Japanese publishers, Dai Nippon, there were many executives that came to meet Srila Prabhupada and his devotees to discuss the printing of the Bhagavad Gita. That was the first publishers that did our Bhagavad Gita. And many of the executives from the company also came. And they were all wanted Prabhupada's. They were all there to bid on, see which executive would take the contract. It was a big corporation. So Prabhupada just discussed it, and nothing was concluded, but there was some discussion about the work that needed to be done. So towards the end of the meeting, all of the executives gave Prabhupada their, what we say, business card, with their information on. So Prabhupada had this 7 business cards in his hand. There were 7 executives. So he was walking out, and he was still holding the cards. And he was one of the executives was walking with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would see everyone as a candidate for Krishna consciousness. No matter what if a reporter came to interview Prabhupada, Prabhupada would preach to him as a conditioned soul. Prabhupada would see each person, no matter what role they were playing in life, as a candidate to become a devotee. So Prabhupada said to him, "Well, what is your goal in life?" And they were walking together, and Prabhupada said, "What is your goal in life?" So the man, he saw that Prabhupada had the cards in his hand. He motioned to give him the cards. So Prabhupada did. And he took the cards. He found his card. He put it on the top of the stack. And he gave it back to Prabhupada. That was his answer to his goal in life. He wanted to be the top man. His goal was to be the best of all the employer, the executives within the company. So that's material life. Everyone wants to be better than somebody else. And people make friendships sometimes with others so they can learn how to become better than another person. It's the whole material world is based on that one principle of envy. No one is satisfied with what they are, and they're always seeing someone else as, you know, as a competitor. The material world is so much competition. So that is the, what we say, the negative counterpoint of someone who is in a higher position from the materialistic conception, or from the negative conception. One becomes envious when someone is better than them. When someone is equal in the material world, equals, what do equals do in a material world? They just tell each other how great they are, right? Don't you know what I did? Don't you know what I'm about? They're always, what we say, putting forth their program. I'm like this, I'm like this, I did this. And you should appreciate me because I'm your friend, you know. You know, everyone wants appreciation. They want to, they use the word, in the slang word in English is brag. They want to brag about themselves, right? They want to boast their own position amongst their friends, you know. And the last is, when someone is in a lesser position, a person will feel good. Well, here's a person who's not as qualified as me. He's in a lesser, they're more suffering. People criticize, maybe ridicule, make fun of someone in a lesser position, rather than the spiritual concept is to show compassion, concern, and to try to raise them up. The material is to feel good because you're better than somebody, and to like to keep them down so you feel good about your position. So Narada Muni, he makes this statement that one who, according to these principles, worships superiors, makes friends with equals, and shows compassion to juniors, they become happy, and they are free from all the pangs of material suffering. In other words, they can attain peace of mind simply by practicing these three principles. To honor those who are greater, to make friends with those who are equal, and to show compassion to those who are lesser. So sometimes the devotees will ask the question, well, do we make that distinction? Yes, you do make the distinction in order to show proper interaction. But even though one may make a distinction in the sense that one has to see, well, maybe there's others who are less fortunate than I am. It's not that we're better than somebody. Nobody's better than anybody else. A person may be more fortunate. There's a difference between being better and more fortunate. More fortunate means that someone has been able to receive more mercy, or is in a position to receive more mercy. But nobody's better than anybody else. As soon as that concept of idea of better than somebody, that's false ego. Because on the spiritual platform, everyone is equal. On the material platform, there is better, there is lesser and greater. But as devotees, we don't make those distinctions. We make the distinctions for the sake of what we call spiritual and social interaction. But we don't consider, a devotee doesn't consider themselves better than anybody. Doesn't consider, a devotee always sees themselves as the servant of everyone. Servant of the Lord and the servant of others. Serving of, when one serves the Lord properly, one knows how to serve others also properly. That means these three things. There's nothing outside of these three categories. In fact, this point is illustrated again in the third canto, in the 29th chapter, verse number 17. 4834 is first it's mentioned, and 32917. And also in the 11th canto, Krishna again makes these three distinctions of three categories of people, just to emphasize how important it is to know that in order to practice what we say the process of Krishna consciousness is successful. So how a devotee relates should be based on these three things. But it's always in the mood of service. We serve the seniors by hearing from them and rendering personal service. We serve our peers by doing various services, assisting them in Krishna consciousness, being friends, sharing Krishna consciousness together, talking intimately, making friends, and sharing our intimate thoughts. And those who are in a lesser position, we feel compassion. We're concerned that they're, you know, in that situation, how to raise them up, how to give them an opportunity to move forward in the path of spiritual life, like that. So a devotee thinks like that. So I have something else that I wanted to present, but I just wanted to make those three distinctions. Any questions about those three categories? Yes. If the authority wants to show friendship, you can act in a friendly way, but one should not attempt to be a friend in that sense, because it may cause in what we say it may cause one to not take the benefit of that association. When, just like I'll give you the example, when Krishna and Arjuna were discussing at the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, it was friendly talks. Arjuna was speaking to Krishna as a friend, and he was putting forth his own principles. But then he realized, this is going nowhere. So he says in verse number 7 in the second chapter, he says, you know, and now I'm a soul surrendered to you. Now I want to become your disciple. As soon as Arjuna took the position of a disciple, then Krishna was inspired to speak. And then he was in a position to hear. So friendliness can be there, but communication of spiritual knowledge doesn't come on that level. It comes best through the process of submission and, what we say, service, like that. So many times we might see in a practical day-to-day life how one may be in a more, what we say, I hate to use these words, but just for the sake of distinction, a more elevated position. If they show friendliness, you can now respond in a friendly way, but one should not try to put themselves forward in that position. Because then again, you might miss out on the opportunity to learn. Arjuna missed out until he realized it was better to become his disciple. Like that. Because Krishna is in the heart. And when Krishna sees that someone is sincere and serious and submissive, then he inspires his devotees to speak and to give knowledge. But if one approaches in a familiar or friendly way, then that inspiration may not come. Many times it doesn't come. Any other questions? Yes, Mataji in the back. How to recognize? You know, that question is dealt with In a recent book that was released about 2 years ago, which was done by Shiva Ram Maharaj, called Sutta Bhakta Chintamani, and it's about an 1,100-page book. So I don't know if it's a fantastic book. It goes through the whole science of Krishna consciousness. And the reason Maharaj wrote the book is to help us understand what literatures we are qualified to read. Because throughout ISKCON, a lot of times people are reading all kinds of esoteric and intimate philosophical and rasika types of literatures about, you know, Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. So what is our qualification to hear these things? What is our qualification to read these things? And so in order to help us understand, he wrote this whole book, which really gives us a guidebook to understand where you are in your spiritual practice. You can tell more or less by using a type of formula to understand where you are, based on the 9 stages of devotional service. There are 9 stages of devotional service. Faith, association with devotees, initiation, removing the anarthas, steadiness, ruchi, attachment to Krishna, affection for Krishna, and ultimately pure love for Krishna. So these 9 stages... One should evaluate based on the science of Krishna consciousness, which is taught both in the nectar of devotion and in Jiva Dharma. Prabhupada wanted us to read that book, Jiva Dharma. He said, this book is a must for the devotee. It teaches the whole science of Krishna consciousness clearly and easily. He also wanted us to read Nectar of Devotion. He said, read it once. Read it twice, read it thrice. That's one of the first statements he made just before he gave a Nectar of Devotion lecture. So these 2 books, now Shivaram Maharaj has also done a book on the same principles. So we should know the science, how it works. And when you know, you can also start to evaluate a little bit. At least you can get an understand where you are in devotional service based on what are your anarthas and how steady you are in the practice. Because one cannot be steady in devotional service unless the anarthas are removed. There are 16 anarthas. And if you can get rid of 12 anarthas, and you're actually fixed in your spiritual process. But the anarthas, as Maharaj was explaining, Bir Krishna Maharaj, they cloud. They're like clouds. They blur the actual process. So we have to work on getting rid of the anarthas, and we should understand what are our anarthas. It's just like if you go to go to a doctor and you say, I'm sick, and then he'll diagnose what are the symptoms and tell you what is the disease. But you may also know your own disease simply by past experience or experience of someone else having the same. So in order to understand who is senior, who is equal, and who is less, one should have a somewhat of an understanding where you are in the practice. Where you are in the practice. There are certain characteristics, just like when they explains that when you're sick, you have certain symptoms, but when you're getting well, the symptoms are going. So how well you're getting or how much you're making advancement in devotional service, certain material, attachments are going, material qualities are changing into spiritual qualities. Things are happening. This process is a process of a transformation of consciousness. And so as our consciousness is being transformed, we're actually making advancement. Advancement is not long how many years you've been in Krishna consciousness. I mean, that may be some indication, but actually it's a purification of the heart that is really the, you know, the criteria for understanding where we are in our spiritual practice. Using the 9 stages of devotional service to understand those. And the science of Krishna consciousness as explained in Nectar of Devotion and other books, Jiva Dharma. So, and then we can get a little bit of an understanding. Now, of course, you can also understand who is a senior devotee by certain characters and qualities that they have. You can also understand who is similar to you simply by their qualifications, activities, characteristics. And the same with those who are less. So by observing these things in a non-judgmental way, not in a judgmental way, but in a non-judgmental way, one can start to understand where you are and where everyone else is, at least to some degree. Does that answer your question? Okay. Yes. We should respect them for their position and honor that position because that they're serving the Lord in that position. So therefore, if their position requires them to do certain services in relationship to you, then there should be some cooperation like that. Now, on a spiritual platform, then that may be different. Therefore, it's in spiritual position or material position within the spiritual organization may or may not be an indication of advancement. Especially in ISKCON. One time, because a lot of times, you know, in an emergency situation, we put anybody in any place. You know, it's like, Prabhu, how long you been in the movement? 2 weeks. Oh, wow. If you just stay in 2 more weeks, you can be a temple president. And just, you know, it's like, you know, temple presidents are so hard to find that anybody who just looks like they might be a temple president may get the position, you know. It's unfortunate, but that's the way we do things sometimes. Like that. Prabhu, can you cook? Oh, I used to cook at the restaurant when I worked there before I became... Oh, that means you can cook. Okay. So it doesn't really... Position within our society really is not an indication of what we say advancement. It can be. And it cannot be. It's not an absolute principle. Of course, we should respect authority in the sense that they have a responsibility. And we respect them by honoring that position that they're in and cooperating with them like that. But as far as spiritual advancement is concerned, that may be something else. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to consider a person qualified according to spiritual advancement, but we also use material evaluations in order to sometimes designate who is qualified to do something or not. But that's dangerous because a lot of times when you give a person some position who's not qualified, they're in charge of the lives of others. And sometimes they make a mess out of someone else's life. So material qualifications are not really the qualification for a position. If you're spiritually qualified, you can learn anything. But if you're material qualified, it doesn't mean you can become good at what you're doing. Because position in a spiritual organization is different than position in a material organization. position in the material organization is just, you know, how enthusiastic you are and how good you are and how bad you want the position. In the spiritual organization, you have to deal with the lives of others. So you're also somewhat responsible. And in your material position, you're affecting other person's spiritual life. So you also have to be both qualified and aware of that. Ideally, position is an indication of advancement, but not always. And sometimes we see a person as a pot washer, but they may be, you know, pure devotee. Pure devotee pot washer. It doesn't really matter your position. It matters the qualification of your heart. Where is your heart and how much is it free from material tendencies? And we see many devotees don't have position in our movement, but they're great devotees. They're fixed in their service, they're surrendered, they have all good qualities, but they may just have a simple service, like driving the devotees around or washing the pots or, you know, just taking on some simple responsibility. So therefore, you can never tell simply by position who's advanced and who's not. Therefore, you should honor all devotees. We respect all devotees accordingly. Mm-hmm. Like that. Any other questions? Would you like to do an exercise? How many of you would like to do a little exercise? This is the first time I'm going to do this. So if it doesn't work, it's my fault. But we'll need a volunteer for this. Now this is the volunteer will have to describe. Now someone who wants to do this has to come forward and describe a memorable relationship with another individual and what that relationship was about. And then after someone is going to do that, we're going to have someone come up and evaluate what they said from a Krishna conscious perspective. So the idea is to talk about a relationship. Well, could be with a devotee or could have been something that you had with someone else, but talk about the relationship. What was the dynamics of that relationship? How it evolved or didn't evolve? Like that. We're just going to explore the dynamics of a person's experience within the relationship. Any volunteers? Don't everyone volunteer at once. I don't know who to choose. Anyone would like to do it? Speak about a relationship. Oh, that's the end of that. You would like to do it? Okay. Well, she'll need the microphone, right? Do we have another microphone? And then we'll need a second volunteer to analyze what she was going through. And then we're going to try to go deeper into the dynamics of relationship from a personal experience. Because we can understand how things happen or don't happen, maybe by a person's experience. Then I'm going to ask for a third volunteer to analyze the second volunteer's analysis. Okay. So you're going to really get analyzed. Okay. Then I have a fourth volunteer. I'll tell you that one when it comes. This ought to be fun. Because every one of us have been through relationships. And we can maybe find some similarities and some lessons. Okay.
I can describe different relationships, and I want to ask you which one is better, for example.
You have to choose.
I have to choose, okay.
Which one you think is better? Which one you feel more, what you think would be more helpful to all the, to the devotees? Or you can do whatever one you feel most comfortable with. Yeah, that's easier, the one you feel the most comfortable with.
Okay. I will talk about the relationship I have with my father.
Oh, okay. Good. Take as much time as you need.
Okay. I can describe the relationship from different aspects. So I don't know which one would be the best. From the spiritual, not, because someone else will evaluate. So psychological aspect.
Whatever way you want.
The way I want. It's free choice.
It's your thing.
Okay. I must say that when I look back at the relationship with my father, which is not so intensive now because I live away from home like for 10 years already, like 1,000 kilometers away, and I visit my parents only once a year. But as a child, he influenced me a lot as a person who I was admiring a lot. He was like some symbol of a good person. Because I just felt I felt so accepted from his side. He was always there for me, not just with words, but with action. And I admired also the way he gave me the freedom to choose, and also give me the feeling that he will be always there for me no matter what happens, no matter what I decide. It was like some kind of unconditional love. So
unconditional.
I saw it like that. I was a child, so it may be a wrong perception, but I saw it like that. Like, no matter what you do, I will stay aside. But with his example, he always showed me how I should act. He never said act like this, but by watching his communication with people, with me, and the way he acted, he showed me by his example. Like, he had the good qualities. Like, he was very positive thinking. He was very open, very sensitive, like to see if something is wrong and ask me always, talk with me. He was also in communication, he was not trying to hurt somebody. Mm. He was trying to talk in a way so that inspire somebody, not to criticize. And he also, when he gave me a chance to develop, to trust myself, like he gave me opportunities to do something, to do some tasks. Not want for me, like, you have to do this. But if you want, you can try. And then I got my self-confidence. I can do this. He gave me freedom to do things. So I think he was also very good, very respectful to my mother. So I think I had a really nice relationship with my father. Even now, I know that I can always talk to him, and he gave me a good example of, he's not a devotee, but he has very devotee qualities, like a person, you know. And those qualities are hard to find. It's like you have it or you don't have it. I don't know. Maybe he developed it in time, but they were nice qualities. I almost never quarreled with my father because it was always conversation and try to fix things, you know, and be open and talk. And
what's your relationship now? It's changed at all? How's it gone from the time you first can remember the impressions of the relationship to where it is now? How has it evolved?
The difference is that when I went from home, I started to search, what am I? What I really want? What is my? And this spiritual need increased. Like, we never talk about spirituality at home a lot. My mother, but my father, no. He was more practical person. He had some faith, but never something personal. So that part, he couldn't give me that part. And I also met the devotees when I went from home. And I got this big satisfaction for fulfilling this need. And I couldn't talk to him a lot about these things. A little, but not too much. And I started also to find that support that I had from my father with the devotees and with the spiritual master. So I think the relationship, deep down, we are still very connected.
No.
But I think I went to another level. I don't know. Or maybe because I'm not so close to him, like being around him. Although when I have problems, he always senses and he always talks to me and we still have talks, but it's not quite the same. Although I really have this in my mind, always his qualities.
Because you've changed, yeah. It's not quite the same, right?
No, it's not quite the same.
Because of your changing.
Yeah, because I went from home and started to live my own life. Right?
Nice, very nice.
Okay.
Wonderful. I was thinking we'd get a sad story, but it's a nice one. Is anyone would like to come forward and just after hearing this story think and give a little evaluation of it? What impressions were going through your mind when you were hearing this story? What experiences can you relate to that she was saying? Anybody would like to analyze it? Okay, I'll choose somebody. Okay. So, 'cause if you don't volunteer, I'll choose you. Okay. So,
Hare Krishna.
I'm sorry, I'm not a nice father. I'm just one of these.
Thank you, Apsara. This was such a really beautiful story.
Yeah.
I was so happy listening to your story and your connection to your father. Maybe also because I miss that with my dad. I could feel so much love and connection from your side. And I thought, what would be like your connection today if he would become a devotee? And I'm not sure if I understood you well, but was it like you said, like he wasn't personal to you? In all these beautiful qualities that you were describing? Okay.
Yeah, that's what I understood also.
Okay, I missed that part. Thank you.
She didn't her father didn't worship like we do. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I wanted to say. I just didn't understood this part, but now it fits, yeah. It's God which is missing is in his life and it's very present in your life. So, I don't know, maybe Krishna will attract him as well.
Nice, thank you. Yeah. You just gave her an experience. And probably many of us else. Who would like to comment about what Mataji said about her story? Or something that reflected in your own mind. Okay, I need a help. I'll choose somebody. Who should I choose? Who would like to volunteer to be chosen? Tachana. Okay. She's going to speak in Croatian.
I would like to say. I have a good relationship with my father. So I can understand this devotee. But I think there is a part in this relationship where we were not so, we didn't fit so well. By some arrangement, I still live with my in the same house with my husband. And I have feeling that now I can continue my relationship with my father. Now I see that maybe he was not so perfect. But but now I can see that he was more deep than I thought. And there's more value in him. And now we can talk more, even if we have some different understandings of some topic. And in some way I can give some Krishna consciousness to him. Through prasadam, I know some recipe foods he likes to take. And like, so I would like to give some advice to this devotee, to her. I don't know how far away she lives from him. Through prasadam. And you can share some thoughts you have, and I think he would like that, he would appreciate that.
Reciprocation. Nice. Okay. So, Krishna consciousness as we become a devotee.
Krishna, atkad smo postali.
Can I ask you a question? Your appreciation for your father was more understood after you became a devotee, or was it always there even before you became a devotee? Even before, it didn't change or didn't grow. No, okay. I think it's push the button up, yeah.
Yes, when I became a devotee, not right away, because the first time I was thinking about me, but later, I was thinking that I would like to give him Krishna consciousness, that now when he's old, although he has all these qualities, it would be a shame if he doesn't have this knowledge before he goes. Although deep inside I know that he is spiritual, that he has his own understanding about spirituality. Actually, I saw one life before, I was in regression, and I saw that we are connected, and that respect for my father It's also from previous lives because I saw that he was a saint in Christianity, and I was also like living in a church, and he was my like spiritual guide. So he has, but he has problems with organizations because he had bad experience, and he doesn't like religious organization. It's not that he's not faithful; yeah. He doesn't have faith.
That's quite common amongst people in the world, especially because of the failure of organizations to live up to their, you know, tenets and their ability to actually, you know, show the good qualities that they're actually preaching about. It doesn't mean it's correct, but that's the way it's perceived like that. But it's interesting because, you know, all good qualities are ultimately spiritual. When they're exhibited in the material world, you know, they are directed towards, you know, persons and activities in the material world. But all good qualities are ultimately spiritual because they're all, everything is coming from Krishna, ultimately. So your experience is really quite profound. But the, one of the points that I wanted to illustrate, aside from your own personal experience, is how important is relationships and how much do we gain from relationships? Ultimately, here we found here is a perfect material relationship. But then again, it could also be transformed into a spiritual relationship, even now. So as we develop our relationships with Krishna, we also develop our relationships with each other. Why do we need relationships? Anyway, sometimes we see, or sometimes there is presented a spiritual person as a person who doesn't need anybody else. They're just connected with God and that's it, right? Sometimes you see yogis or great ascetics, saints, they're just fixed within themselves and they're not so much, you know, we say, interacting or have relationships with others. But our relationships are important. Are they? Why are they important? You learn? What else do we do? We love, yeah. Love is based on two. And ultimately, the perfect relationship is with Krishna. But you really can't develop that relationship completely unless you also develop proper relationships with those who are in connection with Krishna. So to develop a perfect relationship means also to develop a relationship with those who are connected to the perfection in one form or another. So that's why Krishna consciousness is all based on relationships between Vaishnavas, between the Lord, and between other living beings who are not even Vaishnavas, when we say people in general, or just the material energy. To have a relationship with the material energy in the proper way, that's a relationship too. How we treat the material energy, Krishna's energy. So these are little examples. This is a little exercise we tried. Anyone else would like to?
Yeah. I would just like to add about relationship. Like, I have a feeling that if you are alone, then all you think is you.
Yeah.
When there's somebody else, there's your concern is also, you're not selfish. You cannot be selfish around people. You know,
yeah.
If you have somebody, then you have to think about their needs,
right.
Also accept their thinking and stuff. If you're alone, then it's you and you're the center.
Prabhupada gives the example. He talks about Brahman realization. Brahman realization means pretty much you're alone. He used a material example. He said, if I tell you, come here and live in this field. Prabhupada was in the field. Come in this field and live here forever. All by yourself. Would you be happy? You'd be thinking, I need somebody else to be with. Right. So relationships are actually life. Mm-hmm. There's no meaning to life without relationships. We look for relationships on this level, and everyone in the material world makes relationships based on friends or family members or just business partners or just something to facilitate my own, needs in life. So I develop relationships. But a lot of these relationships that people have are not real relationships. A real relationship is one that is selfless. One who is a real relationship is one who is thinking how to do good to the person that relate. That is the best of all relationships. That is a real relationship. When two people are together and they're thinking about what they can get out of each other, that's not a relationship. That's not a relationship. That's simply a business deal. And usually business deals go up and down. So when things go down, then the relationship changes. One loses enthusiasm for that connection. But in a spiritual life, there's no question of going down because each person is thinking about the benefit of the other. So therefore, that's Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Krishna consciousness really means to think about how to serve others. And then through that service of others, you actually develop a relationship with others on the spiritual platform, on the real platform. Of course, we have needs, and we also sometimes think in terms of our needs, but our needs are fulfilled in the process of service. When we serve, just like you use the example of your father, he was just giving, 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 but he was a good person. He was it seemed like he was happy, right? Yeah. Yeah, because he was a giving person. The more you give, the more you give, the less you expect, and the less you expect, the happier you are. The most miserable people are the ones that have so many expectations in life. And then they use other people to fulfill their expectations, or they enter into relationships in order to fulfill them. Just like when two people are about to get married, will they fulfill my expectations? And they're starting thinking, and what happens if they don't while we're married? What am I going to do? Should I call it off? So if one is going into that relationship with those expectations, you can expect it's going to fail. But you should go into the ideas how to serve that person according to how best that person I can fulfill their needs, both spiritual and, of course, we also consider the material needs in some cases. We do also. So that makes a perfect relation. Imagine two people just thinking about the benefit of the other. That's Krishna consciousness. Krishna's thinking about his devotee. Devotee's thinking about Krishna. Any questions? Nice exercise. That was good. Yeah. I don't know if we only have about 12 minutes. I don't know if we have time to do it again. Yes.
How relationships affect us in our lives. For example, I didn't have really such a good relationship with my father, and maybe it affects me in some way today. But is the process of Krishna consciousness so powerful that it can also delete or
change your conception of what?
Yeah, or if I have some bad experiences, can it help also?
Yeah, it can help you to develop forgiveness. Because to be a devotee really means to be forgiving. To look back in retrospect and see bad experiences or as simply, you know, an opportunity to forgive those persons who may have caused one to have a bad experience, or to see the experience as a learning experience that was meant for my good. A lot of times we evaluate experience according to our what we think is good and what not good. There's a beautiful story in the Srimad Bhagavatam where King Anga didn't have a son, so he performed so many sacrifices, and finally he did this one exercise where he pleased the priests, he pleased the demigods, and he pleased the Lord. And some result of the sacrifice was that they offered some sweet rice, and then it was accepted by the Lord. He took that sweet rice, gave it to his wife, Sunita, and then later on, after relationships with her, he had a son. So now he was happy. But the son was a number one rascal. It was King Vaina. You know the story of Vaina. Vaina grew up when he was a little boy. He used to kill his playmates. Imagine having a kid in a neighborhood like that. He would play with his friends and kill them. Such a cruel kid he was. He would kill animals unnecessary. He was just a horrible kid. So his father did everything to try to change him, to make him peaceful, to make him mild, to develop good qualities. But his son would never change. And as he grew up, he got even worse. So Vaina was just lamenting. Finally, he came to the point of becoming detached from the whole thing and said, what's the use of living in this household life with a son like this? Let me just go to the forest and become Krishna conscious. So he took the opportunity to have a bad son and just went to the forest and became a devotee. So in this case, having a bad son was good. It was actually the arrangement of the Lord to detach him from his family life. So no one goes into a married life thinking, I'm going to have a bad kid so I can leave, It's not the, you don't usually think like that. Nobody thinks like that, actually. But in such cases, there's the will of the Lord comes in a different way and turns something that is negative into an opportunity for spiritual progress, So Prabhupada also said that about us devotees in America. He said, comparing us to the Indian family structure, he said, your family structures in America or in the West were very, deficient or defunct starts with a D. Defunct, deficient, dysfunctional, that's right. That's it. They were dysfunctional. And he said, Prabhupada said that was good because now you came to me and became devotees. Whereas what I see from the Indian families, the structure is so strong and that people stay within the family and then the family will never, give up their children to Krishna consciousness unless the kids run away, So, but they don't really do that because they have such an honor for their parents and that's part of the culture. So turning a bad, apparently bad situation into a good situation through the mercy of the Lord. So things work like that also. Okay, any questions? Yes, Mataji. I can hear. I was wondering if you could translate it. She was saying that in a relationship, sometimes we're giving, but we become exploited by that. And then should we continue in that relationship and continue to be exploited, right? That was your question. No. One should not be foolish. If you're seeing you're being exploited, then that's not a relationship if one is exploiting the other. The person who is exploiting is also suffering also. So one should not let themselves be allowed to be exploited in the same way one should not exploit. So you can also help that person stop exploiting you, because then they'll stop committing offenses, which is bad for them. So no, you should do something to try to change this situation. But sometimes people are like that. They're so giving and so willing to tolerate so many things. But then sometimes people are just ungrateful and cannot appreciate another person's. But usually you don't find that too much in devotee relationships. If a person is giving, usually a devotee is always somewhat able to reciprocate to some degree. If it doesn't work, then obviously then... When you come into a relationship, especially about marriage relationships, that's what you're talking about, mostly a marriage relationship? Or just a friendly relationship? No, there always should be a balance. Yeah. We also take, but also we take to give. If you're not getting anything, how can you keep giving? If you're being exploited, your propensity to give is also being reduced, you know. So one should see how to change that situation. And if it's unchangeable, then one may want to move on. You know, to be exploited is, you know, we don't, you know, it's not good for the other person to. We shouldn't allow anyone to exploit us, nor should we, we shouldn't be exploiting others either. Because, you know, when someone is exploited later on in life, they also do the same thing. That's the psychological statistics, that when a person is exploited, especially in the younger part of their life, they turn into an exploiter in later part of their life. So it's not good. It becomes a kind of conditioning. Anyone else? Yes, way in the back, yes. King Anga or King Vena? His son or him? Oh, okay. I did. It says the girl takes on the qualities of the father, and the son generally takes on the qualities of the mother. That's how it usually works. So his wife was Sunita, and she was the daughter of death personified. That's what it says. Her father was a horrible person, a cruel, vicious, ruthless person, and that was his daughter. So somehow, I don't know, it doesn't say how he got married to her. But just like Kamsa. Kamsa's father was Ugrasena. But Kamsa's mother was Padmavati. No. Padmavati. What happened to Padmavati was she was a good person. But one demon named... what was his name? I forgot, it started with a D. He took the form of her husband and had intercourse with her, and Kamsa was born. So in that way, Kamsa was, he was a vicious demon, but his real father was Ugrasena. And his mother was actually a great soul, but she became exploited by this demon. Ravana. Ravana's father was Vishrava, a great saint, and his mother was a demon. So, therefore, Ravana became like his mother. So it's like that. Not always. It's not like an absolute principle. But like, it's usually like that. The son takes on the qualities of the mother. The father, the daughter takes on the qualities of the father. Generally, that's generally the case like that. Yes, Mataji. Can, yeah. Does, usually. Did you get all that? Okay, that's important. That's enough. Yes, yasti bhakti bhagavateya kinchana gunar tatvatramasade suran harava bhaktas kato mana guna manovartayina sato dayato bahi. Yeah, there's a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam that actually one who is engaged in devotional service automatically has all the good qualities of the demigods, such as knowledge, renunciation, and what's the other quality? Devotion. One who is not a devotee, although they're endowed with good qualities such as maintaining a family or also having mystic power, although they have good qualities, it's under the influence of the material energy, and therefore their good qualities are not grounded in anything solid. So as the material energy changes, their good qualities also go and come like that. Yeah, that's a verse. 5, if you want to look it up, it's from the 5th canto, 18th chapter, verse number 12. 5:18-12. It's an interesting verse, and Prabhupada quoted it a lot. But regarding your question about association, yeah, one should be careful in association with those who are not devotees. And one can give association. You should give them your association, but don't take their association. Because giving them your association means giving them an opportunity to become Krishna conscious. And taking their association means to more or less to, you know, agree with their value system. Or to be what we say, hearing about their activities which are contrary to devotional principles. So if you're spiritually strong, you won't be affected. But if you're not, you will be. Mm-hmm. So that's why we, in the beginning of our spiritual practice, we're very careful about how we, who and how we associate. But as we practice, when we do come into that contact with those persons again, we're not affected so much. Therefore, we can give them association. Therefore, they can get Krishna through us. But if you're not strong, and you're seeing that you're compromising your spiritual values and principles just to become friends, then you have to think, well, is it worth it? It's not really worth it, because you're not helping them either. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya advises that the first principle of spiritual life is asat sangat etyaga vaishnava achar, to associate with devotees and to give up the association of materialistic persons. Because as you associate, you develop both affection for and likings for their qualities. Yeah. And so one has to be very conscious of that. Yes, Rose. She's going to speak in Croatian.
I would like to share one thought which concerns friendly relationships, but also all others, other relationships. That's like a bank account. If you can't only take, but you have to give all sometimes, put in sometimes.
You can't take if there's any nothing to give in there. It's empty. You. What are you gonna take?
Ako je prazan, što ćemo uzeti? So that means we have to put in, we have to give, we can't just take out.
Yeah. But, you know, taking is giving.
Ali uzimanje je davanje isto.
The more you give, the more
što
you get.
Više daješ, više...
The giving is in the getting is in the giving.
Aha, so you always get if you give.
Yeah, big... Yeah.
Znači uvijek dobiješ.
Do you have it the other way around? Oh, okay. Well, that's good. He's giving. Yeah. People, a lot of times people are unhappy and they just wonder why nobody loves them. And nobody is paying attention to them, they're not getting what they want. The solution to the problem is just give others what you expect from others to give you, and then you'll get that same thing back. That's the key. If you want to be happy and you have certain expectations, give those same things to others, and you'll see how they come back to you in the same way, and even better. Prabhupada was asked, someone said, Prabhupada, oh, Prabhupada, everyone loves you. Prabhupada said, yes, it's because I love everyone. So if you want love, give love. Don't expect it. If you want service, give service. If you want to be happy, make someone else happy. That's Krishna consciousness. That's life. And even in the material world, people who are know that, some people understand that principle. Therefore, they're always serving other persons in a material way, and they're feeling some happiness in that. They're giving themselves to others in a material way, and they're satisfied, at least to some degree. And don't worry, Krishna won't forget you. Even if he makes you wait, that's all right, but he won't forget you. Everything we're looking for, just give that. Try to give that first. And maybe we might say, well, how can I give it if I don't have it? That's also a question. But just if you have 1% of it, then use that 1%, and it'll become 2%. And use that 2%, it'll become 4%. The most miserable people are the people who have expectations on everyone else. Why isn't this happening? Why isn't that person like this? Why isn't this? Why isn't this? This isn't. Why is this? Why? They're always just miserable. Everywhere they go, they're just never happy because they have so many expectations. Life. One thing you learn about life, it never happens according to how you think it should happen. When you give up the idea that it's supposed to happen in a certain way, then you can actually experience life. So how do you do that? By giving. And so we also take, we take prasadam, right? That's taking. We take rest. That's taking. we read books. That's taking knowledge, right? But you see, when you're thinking, you know, what am I getting? You're realizing you're getting so much. Krishna is giving so much in so many different ways. So there's no need to have so many, what we say, high expectations about life. The expectation we really want is the opportunity for service. If we have that, that's one expectation we should have, that I want to serve. Any other questions? Relationships. Mm-hmm. So everything is about relationships. Imagine this. You had all the money in the world. Wow, that's a lot. And you had all the possessions in the world. Wow, that's a lot. But you were the only person in the world. Oh, that's miserable. So what's valuable? What's the most valuable? Relationships. Because in relationships, everything is we find complete fulfillment. So as we develop our relationships with Krishna and Krishna's devotees, and everything in life follows automatically. So therefore, relationships are the most important thing in life, because that is life itself. It's all about relationships. And Vaishnava relationships are those relationships that teach us what is the perfection of a relationship. Like that. Okay, anything else? Yes, Mataji. There's only two. You and go on that other person. It's not healthy, no. Right. Right. Yeah. But Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj made this point very clear in his lectures that when a husband and wife put all their needs and expectations on each other, the relationship grows weak. They should find some of their needs through other relationships. And then their relationships with each other become stronger and better, like that. So the husbands should have friendships with others, and the wives also should have friendships with others and find their fulfillment in those broader relationships also. It's very important. Because everyone is expecting so much from the other person, and the other person just can't fulfill them. the only one who can fulfill all your desires is Krishna. That's all the only one. Yes, Prabhu. Service attitude. This is what? Melted him, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's using your intelligence how to help a person, because you can, just by being there, you can help them become Krishna conscious. That example won't work in all cases, but some can, in most cases it will. Because if a person is given a little kindness and of affection in a simple need like that, that may cause them to become a little bit, you know. I'll give you an example. Here's an example. This is a story. We can end with this story. Many years, I think it was in Europe somewhere, in one temple, one lady, she came in. This was in the time of Prabhupada. And the movement was still young, so the devotees were young. I mean, there was nobody over 30 in our movement. And when I first joined, and for years after, it was a young movement. The devotees were 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. I joined as an old man. I joined at 25, and I was really old. So, you know, that was like, you know, people, devotees, nobody was over 30. It was rare. So one time, one lady, and she came into the temple, and somehow she met some devotees outside, and she came. And she was all dressed up, and she had this fancy hairdo all fixed up, and she had, you know, big, all kinds of makeup on, and a mini skirt, and, you know, looked like, you know, some model in a showroom. And the devotees got nervous, you know, ooh, what is she coming in like this before the deities? This is not right. She shouldn't dress like that in front of the deities. This is not at all proper dress for the temple. So the devotees told her that, you know, we like you coming in, but you can't, you know, you have to kind of look a little different and dress a little different. So she didn't listen. She came back again the same way. And the devotees got a little heavier with her. And this went on, and finally they heavied her out. So much so she didn't come back. She said to the devotees, oh, they don't like me, I'm not going to go anymore. But she liked Krishna consciousness for some reason. Now, just after she stopped coming, Prabhupada came to the same temple. And the word was out that Prabhupada's coming. So she also heard, oh, the spiritual master's coming. So she wanted to go see Prabhupada. So it was a Sunday, it was a lecture, Prabhupada was there. And he had just sat down on the Vyasasan. He was about to begin his talk. And she walked in, same way. The hairdo, all the makeup, and all this. And as she was walking in, Prabhupada noticed her. And he said, oh, welcome. You look very nice today. He said that. Her heart just melted. She just sat down, listened to the whole lecture, and at the end, she went back home And she took up her hair down. She took her hair down, took off her makeup, changed her dress. She said, "If this is what pleases the devotees, then I'll do it." And Prabhupada never told her to change or anything. He just saw her as a spirit soul. That's all. And he didn't look at her from that point of view. And the devotees just were, you know, having her out. But Prabhupada just saw her as a person who's interested in Krishna consciousness. So he related to her in that way as a soul and not from her bodily, you know, dress like that. And it melted her heart. And no one asked her to change, but she changed on her own just to please. She was so pleased, so happy to meet Prabhupada. She just wanted to please. She wanted to do something. Her heart was changed. So here's an example of being non-judgmental and trying to show kindness is one of the best forms of, you know, helping a person become Krishna conscious. I mean, we try to preach the philosophy, but the philosophy applies only in certain cases. The best philosophy is kindness. Because if you're kind to people, then you can speak to them. But if you're not, then who's going to listen? And even if you have something valuable to say, you've already blocked. So your kindness towards your father allowed him to change. That's nice. Or to appreciate you as a devotee. If he appreciates a devotee, then he also makes advancement. It's called the Gyata Sukriti, appreciation of a devotee. Okay, I think it's time to appreciate prasad, yes? It's always the nice part of it. You know, if everything goes wrong, there's always prasadam. Right? Krishna consciousness is so nice. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you for sharing that story. That was great. Really great. Thank you. Hare Krishna.